97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the college football playoffs. Our guest, Bill Curry, former coach at Georgia Tech, Kentucky, and Alabama. So, Bill, let's get this out of the way quickly. I'm assuming that you don't have North Carolina in your Final Four in the college football playoffs.
Now, why would you say a thing like that, Charlie? That's going to get you in trouble where you're located, buddy. We all have our ups and downs, and North Carolina's been a terrific team for a long time, and they'll be terrific again. They're one of those programs that always come back, and Fedora's a really good coach. But, no, you guessed right. I don't have them in my Final Four.
All right, so who is in your Final Four?
Well, I think it's too early, and that's not a cop-out. I can't tell because folks that you thought might go undefeated or not undefeated. And some folks that you thought might lose one are losing a bunch, like Florida State. So, I mean, early predictions this year are holding up less well, with the exception of Alabama, than they have in years past. You look at Penn State, watch Penn State play, and they play defense like a bunch of crazy people. I mean, they're just great. And then they've got that Barkley guy, 26, in the backfield, who's clearly the best player in America right now. But then you look at Ohio State, and they have Ohio State talent, and we're going to find out about them this week. So, I mean, the answer to your question is, I don't know. I can guess. I think Clemson's got a tough row to hoe because I'm a little biased toward Georgia Tech since that's my alma mater. But, I mean, Georgia Tech can beat anybody right now, and Georgia Tech can lose to anybody meaning Georgia Tech, turn the ball over, we're going to get beat. If we don't, we're liable to beat anybody. So it's going to be, I think it's more interesting this year than it's been in a while.
A lot of the prognosticators have Penn State up at number two, you know, saying if we were to have to decide today who's the Final Four, Penn State would be there. Of course, as you mentioned, they have Ohio State. That's a tough hill to climb. And we do have a lot of play to go. I want to ask you, though, specifically about Penn State. You think about everything that they've been through, and yes, most of it was self-inflicted, but how has that program bounced back as quickly as it has?
It's just stunning. I have two very close friends who went up there and coached with Bill O'Brien. Mac McWhirter was the assistant head coach, and Ted Roof coached the defense, and I asked McWhirter one time, and he's a highly respected, longtime coach. He's now retired. I said, Mac, you've been at Texas, you've been at Clemson, you've been at Georgia Tech, you've been at Georgia, all these great places. What was the group of young people that were the most dedicated, the best kids you coached? He said, without question, it was that group at Penn State. The ones who stayed, when they were offered a chance to leave and keep their scholarships at other places, he said the guys that stayed were the hardest working, toughest, most resilient young people I ever coached. And I thought that was a heck of an answer. He's a Georgia graduate. He's lived in this state where I am much of his life, and he's coached at all these other great places. I think Penn State, there's a certain mystique, and I think, furthermore, there's a certain determination right now, and Franklin knows how to activate that. They're a great young head coach. His enthusiasm, what he breathes into that team, it's fun to watch them, and I think they're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, they're certainly playing good ball. Another team that is playing pretty good ball is Georgia, and the prognosticators have Georgia up in the top four. So you can see a scenario where Alabama and Georgia both went out. They play each other in the SEC championship game. One of them has to lose. Does that losing team still get consideration for the playoff?
Well, of course, that depends on what happens with Ohio State, Penn State, et cetera. But I think, yes, if they're clearly the better team, I don't think that we should hesitate. You know, it wasn't long ago that Alabama and Georgia were in the championship game against each other, and it came down to one play as to who won. And Georgia could have very well won that game when Mark Richt was still around. So they've been good before, but I watched Georgia play Notre Dame, and I told my wife, Carolyn, uh-oh, the Bulldogs are back. I mean, the way they played defense against Notre Dame, and now we see just how great that performance was. I don't think we understood it at the time, but seeing what Notre Dame did to Southern Cal and others, Georgia's the real deal, and especially on defense. And then they only have not one, not two, but five great young running backs, so they can play with a freshman quarterback and give him the kind of ground game that allows him to throw when he wants to, when Kirby wants to. I think they're going to be a force. I really do. I think we could very well see the scenario you just described.
Yeah, Georgia has a history of just churning out running backs. It's like, where do these kids come from?
They come from everywhere because they're not dumb. I mean, they come from Texas. They come from South. Of course, a lot of them have come from in-state here in Georgia, but they've come from South Carolina. They've come from Tennessee. They've come from New Jersey. I mean, they get great running backs, and it's like Alabama gets great everything, but they get them from everywhere because the young people. I mean, this quarterback Eason that was the greatest thing in the world a year or two ago in the recruiting circles, he came from the West Coast. So Georgia recruits nationally, and they do it very well.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion with Bill Curry about the college football playoffs. Bill, you coached two teams in the SEC, and we see that the prognosticators have two SEC teams in the projected Final Four, having graduated from a couple of different SEC schools. I'm one of those snobs when it comes to SEC football. What does it say that Alabama and Georgia are very much in the running for the Final Four?
Well, all the talk and actually a lot of the performance in the last few years is that the SEC has been in decline in football and that the ACC is now the dominant conference. And we could argue that till the cows come home. But when you get to the very top two or three, but we're specifically, of course, talking about Alabama and Georgia right now. If anything, they have elevated their game, and Georgia certainly has in the last year or two. So I think it's back to the thing of the SEC. If you're talking about us being SEC aficionados, I played in the SEC. Georgia Tech was in the SEC 1,000 years ago when I was playing, and then we got out while I was in school there. That's a long story we won't get into, but you can't help but admire the football and wonder if it's going to come back, and the answer is it always will.
Well, you brought up ACC, and last year certainly was a great year for the ACC. Clemson wins the title. The bowl record was very, very impressive, the ACC against all its opponents. SEC was much less impressive, but historically speaking, the SEC is seen as the conference when it comes to football. And you seem to be saying that this year, at least, that resurgence is evident.
It's evident at the top, but it's in the lower echelons and with teams like Tennessee and Florida, who are normally in that top 10 thought process. They're down so far that it's, I think it's a mixed bag for the SEC.
Now, Bill, you know I'm a Gator, and you just had to go there, didn't you?
I did not know you were a Gator, but neither did I stretch anything with what I said. So I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes, but there have been plenty of times that Georgia Tech wasn't as great as it should be, and we have to live with those times.
All right, that's fair. All right, so so what does the Alabama, the upper echelon of the SEC say to the rest of the country?
Well, I think what it says is one of the fears with all the emphasis and frankly all the money that's been poured into the college football playoffs is that the conferences that are dominant are going to be able to outspend and out recruit on glamour, and especially in this day of social media when politics, sports, business, and everything else is conducted by some people in the social media. The teenagers, I was with our two teenage granddaughters last night, and I mean, life is conducted in social media. And with the SEC's glitz and glamour, I think the fear is that the SEC is going to be able to dominate all the other conferences year in and year out, just because that's what it's been doing for so long. And it's probably almost, I know you folks at the various schools that are struggling are not happy, but it's probably good for football if somebody else gets good as well. I mean, and I was thinking of SEC teams that are down. I left out LSU and Ole Miss. I mean, they're struggling too, and those are teams that have been dominant year in and year out.
All right, let's shift over to Notre Dame. Only loss so far is to Georgia. Georgia's undefeated. Notre Dame runs the table, a one-loss Notre Dame team. How do you keep them out of the Final Four?
Well, I don't think you can. First of all, they're Notre Dame. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, I talked about the mystique of the SEC. Well, when I ran out on the field in 1959 for the College Park Rams in College Park, Georgia, what do you think the song was? It was the Notre Dame fight song, and probably 5,000 high schools across America identify with that famous fight song.
Mine is one of them.
Beg your pardon?
Mine is one of them. My high school.
You're one of them too.
Yeah.
So I mean, and there were only two television shows on Sunday morning that featured college football in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was Georgia Tech and guess who? Notre Dame. I mean, I looked at Paul Hoying when I was a kid playing football. So there's that. That's been built in for generations. And if Notre Dame has a record like that, I don't think there's any way they'll be kept out.
All right. So let's go with that scenario that Georgia continues to play really well and perhaps even goes undefeated. Notre Dame has the one loss to an undefeated Georgia team. Notre Dame goes into the Final Four. Perhaps Alabama is in there as well. What happens to all of the other conference champions? Two or three of them are out.
Well, this is sports. Tough luck. That's what happens. And it generates yet another round of fiery discussions about why we ought to have eight teams or 16 teams. Well, the argument is that the football championship series teams, the formerly 1AA schools, if they can have a playoff, why can't the big schools? Well, the big schools don't have as many scholarships as those little schools. We don't have as many players. 85 scholarships is not enough to ask. You're basically asking now for somebody that plays in the top echelon level of football to play an NFL season. And that's absurd. We're also supposed to be going to school here. So, I think that's what will happen. There'll be a huge discussion about, oh gosh, we have to add some more teams to make this legitimate, and forget about what it does to wear down the bodies of these young men or whether or not they show up for finals on December 15th.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Bill Curry, former coach at Georgia Tech, Kentucky, and Alabama. And we're talking about the college football playoffs. So, Bill, let's do go down that road of looking at what are the other possible playoff scenarios. If we went to eight teams, you could say the five conference champions are in, the next best two or three records, and then maybe somebody not in a Power Five conference other than Notre Dame would have a chance. What's wrong with going to eight teams?
The only thing that's wrong is that we're talking about college kids here. We're talking about guys, and there's an awful lot of perception that there's some kind of gravy train, that this is a fat cat deal. You go to college, you play big-time football, you sign with the NFL, you become a millionaire. Well, that's a one in a thousand that gets to do that. But even the ones who do that are expected to go to class at the good schools. They're expected to study. They're expected to be up at 5 a.m., not just during football season, but year-round, to pump iron, to hit the field in the dark, and run and dive and do grass drills and hit the weight room and train. You can't believe how hard it is to be a college football player these days. Now you're going to add two or three more games, so they're basically playing an NFL schedule. If I'm coaching in the NFL, if I'm the O-line coach for the Green Bay Packers, which I was, and I lose three centers, I can go get me another one. I got one sitting in Oakland, California. He already knows our system. We fly him in. He plays. If I lose my three centers and I'm in college coaching, we can't play. We can't hike a ball. And that happens to teams. So it's too much to ask of the young people, I think. Otherwise, it would be great for all concerned.
So the proponents of this would say, you're not talking two or three extra games. You're talking one. If you go from four teams to eight teams, you're talking one more game. These kids are essentially pro athletes anyway. The whole thing about going to class is a facade. This is what the counter argument would be.
Well, my response to that would be, excuse me, please tell me where it's a facade about going to class, because it's not where I've been, because it was my response. First of all, my coach, Bobby Dodd, if you didn't go to class, you didn't play. If you didn't go to class, you went home. He would distract. He scared us to death with class attendance. So that's what I did, and so do a lot of other coaches. So it's not a scam. They do go to class at most places, and they do graduate on time, and they do well at most places. There are obvious controversies, and we know what they are, and I'm not going to bring them up here. But that frankly angers me.
Okay. I think that's fair because, again, the critics or the ones who would propose that we play more games and make more money, because that's what it's all about anyway these days, is the money. You can understand that, and then you can understand your position as well. But if you go to eight, I think I have this right. You're talking one more game. Is that correct?
Well, I've never calculated it, so I don't know. But adding one seems impossible to me. When are you going to play, and how long are you going to play? Are you going to add on to the season? You're going to end up playing in February. Again, it'll be like an NFL season.
Okay, so let's go back to looking at the people who might be in and the people who might be out, the teams. Wisconsin seems to really be in a bad situation, although Wisconsin could go undefeated because of the strength of schedule. How important is that in today's college football, especially when it comes to the playoffs?
Well, it's critically important when you consider the fact that that committee has to make hard decisions, and they've got to sit down and decide, okay, we've got a couple of teams here. Obviously, they're both good enough to be eligible. I think of Penn State a year ago, deserved to be in the playoffs, but there wasn't a spot for them. And that could very easily happen in Wisconsin this year, and it's going to happen to somebody every year. And I think probably, whether I like it or not, it's probably going to go to eight teams. I don't like it, but I think that's likely to happen after good teams get left out year after year. As for somebody outside the Power Five, if there's a Boise State out there or somebody like that, I think it would be a wonderful thing for their program, certainly.
Yeah, Bill, we have just about a minute left. It seems that the way the system is set up now, whether you're a proponent of going to eight teams or 16 teams or keeping it four, it is almost impossible for a non-Power 5 conference team to make it into the college football playoffs. And that's sad because you could have the Cinderella in the basketball playoffs, but that's very unlikely in the football playoffs.
I completely agree. I think it's almost impossible with four teams, and it probably would never happen. I guess there's a one in a million chance.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, former coach at Georgia Tech, Kentucky, and Alabama, and an all-around great guy, Bill Curry. Thanks also to our engineer, Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is the service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.